This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to Perfect Person, the show where I'm perfect and you're a person. What was it that I was gonna say here?
I feel like sometimes I listen to the show, you just sort of say something and a guest is like, okay.
The guests are usually confused.
Yeah.
But it's usually a way I've been living my life that's perfect recently.
Well, that's what you know? You don't explain it to the guests. You just say like, no. I ate a bagel today.
Often it's met with what?
Well, you know what I've been doing? You can borrow mine.
Yeah, please.
On the weekends, make breakfast.
I've been making breakfast.
There we go.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Scrambled eggs, coffee,
yes.
Toast.
Yes. I actually am a bug believer in sitting down at the table and having a breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Listen, every meal is great when you eat it over the sink, but at the same time, you No, I'm just, you've eaten meals over the sink.
Well, I have, of course. And honestly, most of my meals are eaten over the sink because I'm feeding Julian with one hand and feeding myself with the other.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of doing a fistful of scrambled eggs towards him, fistful of scrambled eggs.
But what Randy is talking about, making breakfast is one of my favorite meals, and it's so easy, and you just...
It feels very luxurious.
Eggs, toast, coffee, maybe bacon if you're feeling exciting.
If you want to be able to splatter.
You know what I've been doing is Brinner sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I made pancakes for me and Sarah for dinner, and it was...
Oh, pancake dinner is great.
You know what's something that I have not done, but a friend showed me a picture of this the other day and I blew my face off. She was like, I wanted to make cake. Didn't have any cake mix. But you know what I did have? Pancake mix.
Whoa.
She made pancake mix, put it in a cake dish and put it in the oven and baked it.
No way.
She made a big oven pancake.
Did it work?
Yes. And she was like, and it was cake. And I fucking loved it.
You know what I have a question about?
Yeah.
Because I made eggs this morning.
Yeah.
Didn't have cheese. Had mac and cheese. Boxed. Didn't do it. I didn't do it, but I thought about
okay. Whoa, Tiger. You're talking about making cheese eggs with the max dust?
Yeah. Does that work?
It'd be pretty good.
I don't know if it would work or not.
But you wouldn't want to use that much dust. The dust is like concentrated and like you just want to do a little sprinkle on there, but it'd be okay.
I can taste it.
But are you a Kraft?
No, Annie's.
Annie's for sure. See, yeah. Annie's white cheddar is good.
White cheddar, now that we're talking about it.
See, the white cheddar sauce would be good. Well, I mean, I guess it's French.
Gruyere, Asiago.
Mm-hmm. Asiago.
I feel like the Annie's white cheddar, by the way, put in a little eggs, Rainy.
That's kind of interesting. I don't know if it would work. I don't know. I don't have any responsibility if you do it and it's bad.
It's poison. You do it and it's poison. It's not Rainy's fault. I'm obviously joined by the Wrecking Ball crew.
Ciao.
Salut.
Okay, so Rainy's either
trying to make
thrown
something new
off
happen.
Or she's trying to make something
no,
new
she
happen.
She planned it.
Oh, I planned it. Do you remember I texted you guys?
You said I have something big. was that it?
Limited edition. Salut.
Whoa. Okay, well, the pronunciation could use a little work.
Salut. Salut.
You doing Kermit?
Salut.
Is this French Kermit?
This is French Kermit. People know me for my French Kermit impression.
And this is specifically French Canadian.
And salut means bless you.
Health.
What? I thought it meant hello.
I think it means salut. Salut.
Salut.
Salut.
What language do you think that is, Randy?
French Canadian.
Ciao. I thought we were doing Italian with Chow.
Well, that is, yeah.
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 So it's
French-Italian.
Yeah. One night only.
Salud.
Salud.
I like that.
Instead of chow, totally different language.
Whoa.
Well, we have
international.
I have been concerned that we've run into the limits of chow, that we really chow, well, we're chowed
out.
I disagree.
People are clutching their chow.
Well, people love, and by the way, if anyone ever screamed chow at me, like out of a car window, it would make my day, obviously.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, it's like, are we just going to repeat the same? You know, is it like,
well,
how
do we you
make
gotta,
it
you gotta
fresh?
Let
I like
the
that
joy
you're trying.
In.
I like that you're innovating.
Let the joy in.
Yeah, thank you, Rainey.
Chow
is fun.
I agree.
Chow is flirty. Don't try to take chow away from people.
I'm not trying to take it away. I'm trying to say, we as, you know, sometimes you don't want to give the audience just what they want.
This
you know?
Is the house that chow built. Okay. This is the house that chow built. Yeah. And I'll say this, Will.
Mm-hmm.
People love chow and they should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's applicable. You can use it every day of your life. Now, Salu is chow's cousin.
Yeah.
So we're opening up the doors to the whole family.
I'm going to need to see the spelling. And
we're opening up the S-A-L-U-D. Exclamation point.
Salud is a word in Spanish. I just don't know that it is a word in French. Salud me is like what you say when you toast in Spanish.
No.
So they might be related.
Oh, that's a good point. When they cheers.
When you toast, I studied abroad in Spain, you say salud.
So the person who taught me about this was Desiree. So I'm wondering if I should call her.
Huge shout out to Desiree.
Yeah.
She might be playing rugby.
She's probably playing rugby, but she is French Canadian.
Oh my God. Is that true?
Well, okay. Maybe in that case.
I didn't even know that about my friend Desiree.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I think of her as being from Vermont.
She's from Vermont, but her parents are from French Canada.
She's from Vermont, but she immigrated from French Canada.
First of all, it's called Quebec.
All of a sudden, Will knows about Canada.
Well, Quebec is like the French Canadian province.
Will's gonna act over here. Will's fucking stunting over here like he knows about Canada.
There are separatist groups who wish that they were their own country, and they're mostly predominantly in Quebec, which is the most French Canadian. Like other Canadian provinces,
why do you
aren't
know so much about?
Yeah, do people
Quebec
ever tell you you ruin the vibe?
All the time.
Because I feel like over here, we're saying salut, we're saying fun, we're having fun. You come in and you're like, well, actually,
yeah. Here's the history of Canada.
It's like, well, let it flow, baby.
No, but here's what I will say. I'm going to take back my criticism because if Desiree is actually French Canadian, this could be a slang term that I've heard. Just the way you're saying it sounds like the Spanish cheers. And so maybe I'm more questioning your pronunciation than the meaning of the word.
I am concerned that I'm spreading misinformation about the French language.
Yeah. Well, we don't. We all
Rainey canceled for spreading misinformation about the French language.
Rainey canceled, and then like the subhead is just hon 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 hon.
What the fuck was that?
So this online to represent French laughter, people write H-O-N space H-O-N hon hon hon
hon hon hon hon
hon hon hon.
Yeah, it maybe doesn't translate in verbally. Like I don't know that I've said it.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
No, yeah.
That's French.
I want to hear French Kermit talk about Miss Piggy.
Oh, Miss Piggy, you are so sweet. You know what I'll say, guys? I am
pretty good, Kermit.
Thank you. I have been living a lie, and before we get to the calls, it's just important that I debrief it.
And the light turned off.
That was a new dance.
I really like it.
Normally it's a high kick, but this really is sort of
a swan.
We
just are doing a starfish.
I've been living a lie, and it's time that I come clean about it because I just realized it was true.
Wow.
When I grew up, I thought that I did something that was common in every American household. I thought this was a common occurrence.
Oh, I love stuff like this.
I'm so excited.
Every house. And I realized recently in the last week that I am not only the only one who did this growing up, I'm the only one who still is doing this every day.
No.
And I was like, yeah, everyone is having this. And it's that when I grew up, after dinner,
oh my God,
you always, without fail, get a sweet little treat.
Oh, dessert.
Dessert.
Yeah.
But I've been talking to people about this, and I was like, well, yeah, when you grow up, you know how you get dessert.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, no. Not. They're like, well, not every
cookies.
Night. Not every night. Rainey's on the same yeah. Me and Rainey have the same upbringing. I'm like, yeah, you get, it doesn't have to be a big soiree.
Yeah.
But you get, at the very least, a little ice cream or a little cookie.
Yes.
And I, as an adult in this life, you know, I talk about sweet little treats all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I am having, after dinner, ice cream every night.
And I think that's healthy. Emotionally, emotionally very important. Yes. No, I used to, okay, there's two stages. You eat dinner, then you say, can I go get dessert? Then you got, you bring out the cookies.
Yes.
Two each, two loos each for each person. Yeah. And then after that, you say, may I please be excused? And then you leave.
And then you leave. That's See, and to me, this was what we did in my home growing up. And without fail, you know, we came from, we did all sorts of things. Sometimes it was an Oreo. Yep. Sometimes it was a little cookie. My mom worked in a bakery for a long time. Sometimes, yeah, she made wedding cakes. She was just like a baker at a bakery that made wedding cakes.
Loving this. I feel like your parents live in sort of a children's book.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, my mom made wedding cakes for a long time when my dad was getting his PhD in education, his master's in education. PhD, master's, same thing?
Not the same.
Ah.
PhD, 7 years, master's like 2 years?
I don't know. He got his master's in education, and then my parents were both school teachers, and school. So my mom was working in a bakery making wedding cakes, and she would make like a little treat. We'd have a little treat.
Ooh.
I was talking to a ton of my friends, and I was like, yeah, you guys have dessert now every time. And they're like, no, what do you I'll eat dinner, and then I brush my teeth.
No, well, so the reason I am intimately aware that not most people do it is because I used to go over for sleepovers, and I like, would be like,
where's my treat?
Okay.
Okay, like,
I guess dinner. We're done. That's so funny, Rainey. I remember that feeling for me as well, being like, well, we had dinner, but what the fuck?
Well, can I my reward for eating
dinner?
I don't
have like a unique perspective on this controversy, but I also frequently had dessert. Like, my family was also an ice cream, and but it was not every night, and it depends on what we had.
Were you pissed?
No. No, because that's the thing. The only reason you'd be pissed is because you had the expectation your whole life that it was every night.
Well, because my dad has a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
And my dad was eating dessert every night.
Well, we would have dessert most of the time.
And when I say dessert again, it wasn't always a big deal.
No.
We're not talking about elaborate desserts. We're talking about mostly store-bought, or a lot of them just...
Sherbert? You ever get the gallon of sherbert? For like 99 cents, you could get a bite of gallon of fucking orange sherbert. Sometimes it was that. And then it was like, sometimes it was like a vanilla ice cream from Breyers.
Yeah. Vanilla Breyers was a staple in my household as well.
Yeah. You know what I used to do with vanilla Breyers? Eat it on the heater and melt it. Eat melted ice cream.
You were drinking it?
Yeah. Soup. Ice cream soup. Sometimes put it in microwave. Kind of gross. Didn't taste that good, but it was novel.
You were microwaving ice cream?
Yeah.
Rainey is out here innovating.
Honestly, though, I actually do remember microwaving ice cream as a little kid. You ever microwave Peeps?
No.
No, but I've heard legends.
They explode, right?
And they explode. Yeah. It's awesome.
Sounds cool.
I was always doing that as a kid. I was making microwave.
Peeps are gross.
They are gross, but I loved them.
You don't like Peeps? I love Peeps.
I love sweet things generally, so you'd think I'd like Peeps. I honestly think they're too sweet. They have no other distinguishing flavors.
Oh my God. Such a vibe ruiner. Like
you guys are just setting yourself up.
Peeps are too sweet. Tell me something I don't know.
Do you love Peeps?
No, obviously they're too sweet. They're an Easter candy.
But like, do you buy today? Like today, 2024,
every
Easter
day when I go to the grocery store, I get
Peeps. We cut to you.
I go, turkey, cold cuts, raw chicken, Peeps.
Obviously Peeps.
Obviously Peeps. Vegetables. No, but I just was wowed by the idea that I'm having dessert every single night, and I still do, and I have a little bowl of ice cream, and I bring it into bed.
No, I think
you're eating it in bed.
Oh, I'm eating it in bed.
That's
Rainey.
Nice.
Well, so I'm not a bed eater. That's not for me.
You live alone, so the whole world is your bed.
That's right. I can eat wherever and leave my dish out, and it doesn't matter. So,
well,
like,
it matters, I think, emotionally. Will just molted. His skin came off.
No, I don't know. I will say I'm very pro dessert. I think having dessert every day is great.
That's what I do.
My problem as an adult, though, is that if I buy dessert things that come in bulk, I have a hard time restraining myself from just eating all or most of it in one sitting.
Right.
And so what I will tend to do is sort of a boom or bust cycle where I will be buying no desserts. And then all of a sudden I'll be like, fuck, I gotta get some desserts. And then I'll just be eating a lot of desserts for a while. Very uneven, you know?
I agree with this. Mm-hmm. This is my problem with going to the grocery store hungry.
Yeah.
You go and you think.
I think it's the best to go to the grocery store hungry.
It's a double-edged sword because I'm buying so many groceries that I'm eating almost immediately. Like, I'll get home and the night after a grocery store run, it's a feast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look at my bounty. I have so many different types of corns and treats.
Yeah. Because sometimes I don't buy enough groceries and then I'm going to get some food.
I went to the grocery store and I got all the essentials and I and I was like, you know what? Let's just get apples and celeries and stuff like that. And I got home and Sarah was like, but where's the snacks?
Well, you and guys love
that's
snacks.
That's why she's the people's like, princess.
The next day I went back to the grocery store, did a second snack trip.
Yeah.
And then I was like, now we're loaded.
You know what pisses me off? And I'll say it. Having to go to multiple grocery stores because one of them doesn't have, like, went to Ralph's to make a turkey meatball soup recently. And
Jesus Christ, Will.
I like almost all food, and that's
no, like, that. There's something
first
about,
of all, it's from the New York Times Cooking.
You huddled over a big steaming pot of turkey meatball soup. It's just foul.
By
to
the
me.
Way, first of all, this was pretty good. It's pretty good.
What was in it?
So you got you make the meatball, right? You got your ground turkey, you got your feta cheese, you use oats as the binder instead of breadcrumbs.
Turkey and oat?
And then you put some oats into the soup as well for additional texture.
Whoa.
There's spinach in there. And there's feta cheese in the meatballs.
This
and a lot of onions.
It was crazy.
Very
meal.
Dill forward. This is a New York Times this cooking meal.
A dill forward oat cake with turkey.
If it's not an oat cake. It's oat. It's an oat as a binder for the meatballs.
If you put oat in hot water, it's going to turn into oatmeal in the soup.
No, it doesn't. It's not oat. It's rolled oats.
That's oatmeal.
Well, you can make oatmeal out of it. It doesn't turn into oatmeal.
Hey, guys. We just want to apologize for Will's outburst.
My point is, I didn't come up with this. It's the New York Times. This is typically a classy food.
No, it sounds really good. I'd love to have some.
Turmeric and dill forward.
I will. We got to do, maybe that's the next coffee pot. The next coffee pot is we get stoned and you make turkey oat soup.
Or just something. Like I make I'll you be a your meal. Soup. Yeah, yeah. You're my sous chef as I make some sort of meal for you, and you don't. It's not maybe to your taste or something. I don't know.
Wait, so did you eat it?
Oh yeah, it's great.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, interesting. Well, we got to get to the phone lines. We simply have to get to the phone lines. And if you can't get enough of this show, now you can! Woo! By joining the Perfect Person Patreon and getting access to bonus episodes every single Friday, where I call back people in the show and I do wild, wacky themed episodes where I twist the format and I milk it until it's all fucking good. And those are every Friday. And if you join right now,
I milk it till it's all good.
Thank you, Will. And if you join right now, there's like 70 bonus episodes already on the thing. So you can listen to the whole backlog. Anyway, join the Patreon, do all the stuff, and buy the tickets to the live show. Until then, WBC, it is time to get into the calls.
Hi, Miles. I need your help being more assertive in myself. I am a dog walker / trainer, and I need to tell people no sometimes that I cannot take them as a client, but I keep on telling them yes, so I need help with that. Okay, thanks. Bye.
We need to teach this person how to be a toxic dog walker. Okay?
I don't know that she has to be talked.
They have been walked over for too long. Okay, walked over dog style.
Doggy style.
You speak on that, Randy.
That's going on the soundboard.
Just Randy going, doggy style.
Doggy style. All right, let's give this person a call back.
Hello?
Ciao.
No way. Chow.
Welcome to the big time Chow. I've got the WBC.
Chow.
Yep. Chow, etc. I've got the WBC here in the studio, and we're going to teach you how to be a toxic dog walker because it sounds like you're being walked all over, literally.
That's my life.
So tell me what's going on. We need a fake name. It's going to be coming for Rainy.
Bouquet.
It is an absolute pleasure. Tell us what's good.
Okay. So here's the sitch. I am a dog walker, but I get like clients from a trainer I know. And like sometimes his clients will call me and then I'll like pick up the phone like I just did. And then like right away I'm like, ooh, I do not want to like walk this person's dog.
You get a bad vibe from them and you feel like it's going to, their dog's going to be bad.
Yeah. I've worked in a lot of service before, like service industry. So I can kind of read when people are going to suck.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, ooh, I'm like also getting clients from this other person. So I don't want to reflect badly upon them. I am taking too many clients and I don't know how to say no to the nice people, but then to the rude people, I also want to say no to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I find when you're dealing with rude people, lying is actually a really good strategy.
Yeah.
And if you're like, oh, you know what just came up is I got my foot broken.
It just came up.
It just like if you're talking
I'm in
to
the
them,
ER.
Or you could just like just fuck. Especially with client based work, you just be like, oh no,
or I'm moved.
Oh, no. Oh, God, I'm so dumb, but I actually moved.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Because you shouldn't probably have to make yourself deal with someone that sucks.
Yeah, especially if you don't need the work.
I would also say that, like, because obviously dog walking, people have specific windows where they want you to come, and they don't know what your schedule is like. So the easiest lie, you don't have to say I broke my foot or any of those things. You could just say, you know, I'm looking at my planner, even if you don't have one. And it just make up the thing you're looking at. And you just are like, yeah, I actually can't make that time work. I'm so sorry. And you don't even have to apologize. But like it, practice not apologizing, honestly, because it sounds like you're getting walked all over. So but all you have to do is say, I can't fit it in. And, you know, sorry, I appreciate the referral, but I'm just full of clients right now.
Wait, what? Yeah. What's your relationship with the trainer?
Yeah.
Well, I used to be a server at a restaurant, and when I worked there, he was a regular. And then when I moved to being a dog trainer or a dog walker, he's giving me his old client.
Oh.
Are you a dog trainer or a dog walker? Or is it sort of an aspirational thing? You were like dog trainer, oop, dog walker.
Well, I'm currently like taking classes to get my license.
I assume that dog training is both more interesting and you make more money. So that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And you tell the dogs when to sit, et cetera.
It's a trap.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah, you sort of say, bad dog, good dog.
No.
This dog's just going to sit. This dog's going to shake.
Shake is a great little command.
Yeah.
I feel like kennel is a really big one. That one's hard.
Yeah.
We're just talking about dogs now. But what I will say is, like, I understand how hard it is to say no to somebody when, especially when you're in a conversation, like somebody calls you out of the blue and you just want to be accommodating. But like, if someone's being a dick, you in no way have to tell them the truth. Just give the white lie of, hey, my schedule's too busy. I've taken on too many clients recently. You know, even if that trainer thinks you're always available for more work, you can just tell that person that you're not. And that person's going to be like, okay. And they're going to go on their day and they're not going to think two shits about it. Whether or not you lied or told the truth. And I said, think two shits.
Yeah, like, think two shits. But you can also be like, I broke my pelvis.
That seems a little drastic.
Well,
pelvis is a tough one.
I broke
you
my
can't
fucking
cast.
Pelvis.
You can't do a cast.
Can't do anything.
I just feel like saying no is, you know, bad for 2 minutes, but then you get a big reward of not having to deal with that.
I think with all client work, you don't need to work with people that you don't care for.
Agreed.
For almost no reason. You don't even need to work with people you do care for. You don't even need to work.
Hashtag don't work.
Hashtag no work.
No work.
Easier for 20 you to say
hour
podcasters.
A week.
Hashtag no work November. No, but especially if you're like, I've got if the dogs are barking.
Yeah.
Then take them for a walk.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something about, you know, the expression about like, my dogs are barking and somebody takes their shoes off.
Exactly.
I thought that's where you're going.
That's how I'm feeling.
But that's not where you went.
Any last thoughts before we let you go, Bouquet?
No, thank you so much for calling. I love that I got the Wrecking Ball crew. Thank you so much.
Of course, the love WBC always has your back. And as always, salut!
Salut!
I'm not.
You're not doing it well?
Sorry. Okay.
See, do you see the reaction? Only
because you didn't do it with us.
No, yeah. That's not why.
Only because you said, I'm not saying that.
She was thrown off!
No.
We weren't saying our catchphrase.
Okay, Lynn. Oh, now he wants to do it. He even said,
this is reverse engineering.
Yeah, because Bouquet, let me just tell you, Will said that Chow was like, oh, we've done so Chow so much. And now he wants to do it.
I was really excited
to
Chow.
I was really excited to hear Chow.
You were excited to hear Chow?
Bouquet, we're going to give you a Chow, okay? Yep. 3, 2, 1.
Chow! Will, I just can't.
I can't even. Sorry about Will, Bouquet. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
All right, bye.
You're a dissenter.
That was a disaster.
Why?
Will is really subversive and cool.
I don't think of myself that way.
No, Will's such an edgelord. He's like,
no.
I'm like, Will's basically a fedora wearing incel. He's like, I'm making my porridge, my turkey porridge.
Okay, first of all, it is not a porridge.
Turkey porridge. It is a soup. And scrolling on Reddit and being like, I hate how people perform on social media.
In almost all ways, though, the modern world is better. So I don't hear to be like social media is ruining everything.
No, I do agree with that.
Like,
I think that in every way,
life expectancy, social norms,
it's better
norms,
to live now than any other time in the world.
But to me, social media is not one of the
reasons
really
uplifting
why.
To me. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I
like that.
I do feel that way.
I like that. I'm happy about that.
Like there's more complicated elements of our lives because we don't just have to be like, all right, my job is I move hay and then I milk the cow and then I go to sleep. But like we have like more shit to do. Like it's a more complicated life for sure, but it is better statistically than any other time in history.
Yeah.
Even despite horrible atrocities going on in the world.
Correct.
It is still better categorically.
Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say it's better if you're just, born in a country.
I mean, like, net of the entire world.
Yes, I agree. I think if you just compare just like women's rights, it's a no brainer. Well, but that said, I don't think social media is one of the reasons why it is better to live in the
Facebook
modern world.
Facebook is why, actually.
I really like modern medicine. Ding.
Let's take another
call. Hi, Miles. So I'm a theater major, and one of my theater major friends is actually a narcissist and created a burn book for our class. So how does one deal with that?
Book for the class, a la Mean Girls. A big book of mean things about every single person in the entire class.
That's so funny that they watched Mean Girls and decided to...
They were like, I identify with Regina.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever asked somebody, what do other people say about my back?
Oh.
Because I did that in eighth grade. Bad call.
Well, really?
Yeah.
What happened? What was the...
This is my friend from childhood that I knew she was going to tell me. Because she just... Like, that's just how she is. And it was that you, like, get mad really easily and you, like, overblow things. And so now, I think about that all the time. Whenever I'm mad, I'm like, don't overblow it.
Don't overblow it. Don't overblow it, Rainey. Like in eighth grade. That's I don't know that I ever asked. I mean, what do people say behind my back?
Yeah, what do people
big
say?
Big nose.
They say that to my face.
You're right. You're
it's
right.
So funny.
I'm doing
people
it right
behind
now.
My back are like, that guy has a big nose.
Have you seen?
Do you think that Miles has a big nose? It's like,
I will say that, like, there was a time in my life where I think that stuff would have really devastated me. But at this point, I'm like, I have come to a level, I hope, of self-acceptance where, like, I hope that whatever people are saying about me behind my back is exactly the kind of... I just don't think it could be worse than what I already think about myself.
Good for you, man. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear
I don't want to hear it either.
I don't want to hear people being mean about me. I don't want to hear it anything.
To be clear, I'm not saying I want to hear it. I'm just saying that... I just can't imagine that it's anything that horrible,
Yeah.
Like I endeavor to live my life as publicly and as honestly as possible. So like whatever people are saying, it's like, yeah, Will's kind of annoying. It's like, yeah, I agree.
You know, it's funny. Me and my friends actually were just talking about this, where we were like, we were wondering, okay, you know how like when you go on a date or something and it's a bad date and you leave and you're like, wow, that date was just like not good. Like not the person's not like,
You don't hate them.
They're not evil.
Right.
They're not Adolfo Hitler.
No.
Come on. A pretty funny joke.
No. They're not evil, but it's just that they are, it's not a match. And my question is also when you leave and you're like, whoa, that person was like weird, or whatever. And the question was, what do you think those people are?
Ooh. Okay, first of all, you are very flexible.
What are they saying, like the other group of people?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How are they talking about you and why, how does that, is that different? And we're basically being like, I think one of the benefits of being in a French group of a French group of people who are like pretty well adjusted was like, oh, I think that even when we're debating like, oh, this person had, it was weird or whatever. Mm-hmm. Typically, I think in my circles, I am like, yeah, this person was really getting on my nerves or whatever, but I guess they were just approaching it from this and mm-hmm. maybe they're insecure about this
yeah.
and this was probably what they're attempting.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that is typically a way that you kind of know that you're in a good circle because no one is actually really mm-hmm. wrong or evil yeah. or like, or they don't consider themselves that way. When people mess up, it's like, oh, maybe they're trying to approach it from this. But uh-huh. I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
That is really interesting. Yeah, because I'm like, usually when I come back from dates like that, it's usually just like, oh, he's kind of, it was like tough to keep the conversation
yeah,
going.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Like the biggest complaint.
And like, what did he say? You know what yeah. I mean? Like, that's my question. I'm
right.
always like, what? And I'm like, for me, I would imagine that like, I went on a date and it's like, yeah, it was tough to, and they were probably like, yeah, he was way too much or whatever. Like the opposite where I'm like, yeah, the conversation did not flow. And she's just like, yeah, this guy, like it was like pizzazz.
Yeah. And I know I've been that guy, you know, I know that there's been a conversation like this guy would not shut the fuck up. I guarantee you that's happened. Like I guarantee you someone that I've been on a date with in my life has gotten to tell like, how was that date that you went on? Oh, this guy just would not shut the fuck up. I hated him so much.
So like, Jesus, Will. Talking about our friend Will.
No, but to be clear, like I think that you know, typically though, it's, you know, it's better to have someone who's willing to talk. Like I think that what you're saying, Granny, like I've heard this from other women of like, hey, went on a date and this guy just would not talk. Like,
yeah.
Like I'm having to do all the work. I'm carrying all the conversational plates and yeah. he's giving me like one word answers. Yeah. And like, I know some people have social anxiety and I'm sympathetic to that, but like you need to be able to have a conversation.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like, and so at least I'm good at that. You know, even if I'm annoying and they don't like me, I think all it is just like, yeah, this guy is harmless and nice. And
yeah.
I didn't even totally hate talking to him, but it just wasn't the right vibe.
He said Adolfa Hitler.
But come on, that's funny. A little bit.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello?
Hello! You called Perfect Person, and I'm here to call you back with the Wrecking Ball crew. Ciao!
Oh my god. Okay, so I am currently at the gym. I need to get to my car.
Okay, no problem. We're on the horn with you.
I'm so sorry. We got to go. I need to inform my friend. We are on a podcast right now today. It's my favorite podcast that I'm listening to.
Yeah.
And this is a really big deal.
That's Woo! Right.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh my god. Okay, we gotta go.
We gotta get out of there. Get out of the gym!
We gotta go. Bye, thank you.
Sorry, beefcakes. It's time to go. We are done on the treadmill. We are done with the weights. We are ready to go out to the car.
I cannot believe this. Okay, one second. Hi! Oh my god!
Thank you so much for calling in. We saw your problem and we thought, oh man.
This is a thrilling
conclusion, and I'm going to need to know a little bit about more about the burn book, more about this person who started it, and also what are the burns that they said about you?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Oh my god.
And how did it get discovered?
So, oh my god, this is such a story. Okay. So, I'm a theater major, right?
Seems like to be the majority of the listeners on the show.
Can I get a fake name for me and for the burn girl?
Absolutely. Will, fake name for the caller?
Ash.
Ash?
Ash.
And nice. Then what is the Perfect. Fake name for the burn book girl?
Amelie.
Ash and Amelie.
Amelie. Okay. So, OMG, where do I even start? Your theater major, she can't do a lot of things. Okay, so Amelie, she's also a theater major, but she is incapable of doing theater, okay? She's
okay,
so bad
she's
at
bad.
Everything.
She's bad.
You mean like she's a bad okay, actress? Okay, right. Or you mean like she can't like move stuff behind the scenes?
She's not a good actress. She's she's miscast.
Talentless.
And
she can't
honestly,
do it. She can't sing. She can't dance. Right.
And she can't act, it sounds like.
Okay.
Those are the Your main. Regret. Okay, so and she's not like on the crew. She's still a theater major who's
a
performer.
No. She's a full on musical theater major.
Okay.
So, OMG. Okay, so essentially, Amelie, whatever her name is, she is physically unable to dance, move, do anything. Also, she can't sing because she has a smoking problem.
Right, and she refuses to stop smoking. And if she doesn't stop smoking, she's not going to be able to sing.
She's stupid rich. Like private jet rich.
Clearly, we're so bad at telling stories. I'm so sorry. I'm so flustered.
She's rich as fuck. She can't dance. And she smokes a pack a day. I got it. Yeah. I know the time. Everybody knows the time.
Oh, we've all been there.
We've all been there. Right. Have you been there in your musical theater program when there's a rich smoker that can't dance?
But they insist on trying out for every show. Yeah.
Okay, I'll skip to the burn book situation. So basically, Amelie goes up to like one of my closest friends in the department, and she's like, "Oh my God, listen, I'm like so pissed off at literally everybody. Like, you don't even know. Like, I'm pissed off at all these people. I'm pissed off at Ash. Like, you need to come have lunch with me in my dorm right now so we can talk about it." And my friend's like, "Well, I'm having lunch with Ash right now, so I'm not going to do that." But she goes later that night, and she goes to talk to her, and Amelie is freaking like, OMG, Ash is like so fake to everybody, like all of her niceness is so fake, and she's like, she's faker to you than anybody, and she's like, oh, Ash is only friends with you when you're hanging out with the seniors, because me and my friend are like super cool, and we hang out with all the seniors. Anyways,
more on that later. We're gonna need to hear more about that in a little bit because it sounds pretty cool.
No, of course,
that's really cool.
So, eventually, Amelie is like, "Oh, and by the way, me and this other dude, they have made a burn book of the theater department, but only our class, only the freshman class." And so my friend's like, what the hell? Like, what's in it? And so basically, it's not even, here's the thing. It's not even necessarily a burn book in the way that it's a burn book, but she calls it a burn book. And basically, she ranks everybody based off of their talent.
Oh!
Whoa.
According to how they did in the week, which is crazy.
Wait, so she's maintaining
a weekly roster?
Weekly is like, that's a lot of writing.
Man, she should go live on Instagram and every week and be like, this week's rankings are Bethany at number one, and at two, it's Max. By the way, this is unbelievable. Okay, got it. So
it's unbelievable that she's talking about this to everyone.
She shouldn't be. And also, especially like she's talking about it to one of your best friends, right?
Yes. No, and she knows that. And this is, here's my theory, right? Is that like, and not to be like tooting my own horn, but me and this girl, we are pretty good at theater. Like, not
okay.
me that.
Okay.
I'll be the judge of that. You give me a, show me a healthy belt.
We're going to need a self tape at the end of this.
We're going to need a healthy belt from Wicked.
Oh, my popular.
No, but.
I just worked out. Give me a break. Okay.
But so you guys think that you're pretty good at
You guys are
theater.
Hot shit.
You guys are hot shit. You're the department leads.
We're hot shit. So basically, what I think is that she's like basically tearing the both of us down because she's like, I don't know, intimidated by us, but
sure.
She's tearing us down in different ways.
It's
like
classic.
She's talking shit about me and she's like bringing down this other girl with her,
yeah.
Trying to like make her think that nobody likes her. Yeah, I mean, she's super manipulative. Super narcissistic. Maybe a clinical narcissist. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing we're not psych majors. We're theater majors, right, girls?
Right. No. Right.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, first of all,
I just need to do some due diligence here.
Sure.
I want to make sure, this is something that I have to do in these situations, I want to make sure you guys aren't the bullies of the theater department. I feel like I have to.
I feel like I have to ask this. Miles, I hear you and I fully understand this. I need you to understand that this girl has been a freaking plague on this department since day one. Like,
look, I know the type, okay?
Speaking of bird books.
My friend that I'm sitting with, she's not even a theater major and she knows because she's had to have like conversations with her. She's just like, she constantly talks about herself and
talks shit about everybody else
and complains about how hard it is to be rich. And it's like, oh my God.
By the way, it helps your case that she's rich.
Yeah. It helps a lot, right, to be honest.
Because if you were like, she's like really struggling financially and she's a smoker, then I'd be like, okay, this girl. But to be rich and be mean is sort of a double threat.
Right. Well, and it's like, you know, maybe being rich fucked her up psychologically, you know, it's very possible.
It definitely did.
No, for sure. Okay, wait, got it.
What play is going on right now in the theater department?
Get this. So she didn't audition last semester because she was like, oh, I don't want to do it. But then she auditioned this semester and she didn't get cast in anything. But me and my friend that she's like that she pulled aside to talk shit with, we both got called back for the lead in the musical.
What's a musical?
Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay, Belle. So
whatever.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, wait, no, hang on. Hang on. So you got called back and you guys are freshmen?
Yeah.
How do the seniors feel about that?
Yeah. Well, the seniors are actually really, well, there's one senior that's not. That would be like a whole separate call, but like most of the seniors are really nice.
We'll have to call you
back. And very supportive.
No, but I got it. Because now that we're sort of, we have to do our due diligence here. You guys are freshmen hanging out with seniors.
Yeah.
Now, I also remember when I was in school, the freshmen that hung out with seniors, they became targets for the rest of people in freshman class because you're sort of upcycling in the department. You guys are hanging out with the older kids who have more influence in what's being created, etc. So tell me about your friendship with the seniors, and is that sort of cool to have? Are you excited about this social leap that you're making?
It is really cool to have. I'm pumped about it. They're really nice. I think that, well, okay, so here's a thing that our department does is like a mentor system. So like the seniors all get a freshman mentee. And so I'm friends with Amelie's mentor. But Amelie thinks that her mentor is like her best friend. She's like, OMG, she's mommy.
Can never not talk about her.
Calling someone mommy is funny.
She's mommy.
She's mommy. She's baby girl.
That's her name in her phone. Amelie has her mentor as mommy in her phone.
And it's like, girl, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And her mentor has been like, OMG, like, come sleep over at our apartment. Like, let's go clubbing. Like, that kind of thing. So I'm like, girl, one of us is really friends with her, and one of us is just obsessed with her. Oh, my God. I sound so mean.
No.
As a not theater major, she doesn't sound mean. This is all factual information.
You know what's funny? It is sort of like a... Because I know how these departments work because I was in one. And there is like what you're saying, like, because I get the tendency to be like, oh, we're being mean because there's this like girl who's obsessed with herself. She's talking whenever she's causing drama, she's causing problems, and you guys are reacting to her drama. Now, girls, you're not going out of your way to bully this other girl, though, right?
No. Listen, Miles, like, she's the one that's shit-talking, and I fully am just, like, trying to...
Okay.
I'm trying to, like, go zen when she's around.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, the kind of person to, like, snarky comments and things like that when she's around. I'm, like, I'm kind.
Yeah, like, you're doing the right thing. You said you're not the one to do that, so you shouldn't be doing that. But
well,
also,
that's the thing, is she's, like... She's like, you're like, oh, Ash is so fake because she's like acting nice to my face.
But it's like, I feel like if I'm not venting my frustrations at her, I'm actually exercising more kindness and more patience than a normal.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Is normal.
No, you're correct. And by the way, this girl is also, she's just threatened at you about you because you're hanging out with the seniors. But
and have the lead of the musical.
And you have the
You got a callback.
But still.
So
I got cast in the ensemble. I'm actually a swing for a silly girl, but that's neither here nor there.
This country is built on the backs of ensemble chorus members.
That's right.
I've always said that.
Yes.
Well, okay, got it. So
thank you so much.
So here's what I think. Well, first of all, the burn book situation. Yeah. This girl is, I find that with this type of person, I would caution you against sowing more dissent against this person, because this person will be their own downfall.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to do anything. The more you talk shit about her, like publicly in theater, the more that what she's saying will come to be a prophecy.
Exactly.
And if you just let her talk about herself too much, I bet everyone else is like, this person's annoying.
What do we know about Into the Woods Act 2, okay? And the villains find their own downfall.
You're really working to get a reference in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we know about Hamilton Act 2, okay? He dies.
I feel like in college there are these types of people who maybe no one in a department really likes, but because they're going to school there, you can't exclude them or avoid them, and they're allowed to be as involved as they are going to be, you know. So you want to find a way to like not have tensions be high and not have it be like, oh, we all hate this person, and then they're going to find out behind their back. Like, it sounds like that's already basically happening.
It's also like let them play their hand, because if it's, especially if there's someone that's like feeling a jealousy feeling or something towards you guys just keep doing what you're doing, and you don't need to concern yourself.
That's right.
With her disliking you or whatever.
The lion doesn't concern itself with the opinions of the sheep.
Will,
that's right.
That's the first smart thing you said.
That's like what incels say. But
oh, is that true?
No, I don't know if that's specific. I'm just saying it's like something an incel would say.
Will just put on a fedora.
wait. And what did they say? Like, so in the burn book, it was ranking. Did they also say like some criticism about each person, or is it just the rankings?
It's just the ranking, but they have like, if you were to ask them what their criticism of each person was, they could tell you. Like, okay, so her criticism of me in the burn book, because so she put my friend for singing number one, then herself number two, and then me number three. And she was like, oh, well, like, Ash is, like, good, but she only sings, like, alto-y notes and then belts every once in a while. And I think that I'm better than her, but she's just more confident.
Wow.
So interesting.
Yeah, I was going to ask where she puts her own ranking, but it sounds like high.
She sounds like above you, but you're still pretty high up there, which is pretty good. Well, I think we solved it.
I think we solved it.
I think you got it. Yeah, I would say how you deal with this type of person, let them play out their own hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let them do their own thing. And also, it's just Rainey, you had an experience you talked about on this show at one point of like, you told someone to stop talking shit about you.
I did do that.
And I think that that's like, you could go about it, but it sounds like this person doesn't have a lot of goodwill in the department anyway.
Exactly. Like, you don't need to confront that's this true. Person because it sounds like everyone else is like, if they didn't make any play and they're older than you and you know, maybe they don't have a lot of friends. Like, honestly, it sounds like this person is lonely and insecure.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're like, they're maybe a narcissist, but like, we all like talking about ourselves to some extent. It's like, it's, you know, I think sometimes there are people in college who everyone's like, oh, this person's really annoying. And it's like, but they're 21. Like, give them a chance. Like, be nice.
Yeah, right. You know, and you don't have to, like, again, it's always better for this stuff to not be on bad will with somebody, because it's going to take up your time. Yeah. And you know what you should be spending your time doing?
Yeah.
Belting, okay?
Belting.
Right. Belting. And running the scenes. Right. Doing the work.
Right.
But I think that, with villains like this, theater villains in general, it's easy to let them take up a lot of your mental space. And if you let them play their thing, it's just like, oh, they're just like going to do their own thing and they're going to be annoying and they're going to talk shit. Let them burn themselves out, especially because she's, you know, smoking, burn, smoke. I don't know. There's a connection there.
That's maybe my funniest thing you guys said is like, and she would be a great singer. She's ruining her singing voice.
Yeah, she's ruining her pipe. She has notes. Yeah, I think that that's got to be our advice. And I'll tell you, leave it all out there on the court. And by court, I mean stage. And I hope you absolutely shred the ensemble for Beauty and the Beast. Because
I will. I'm going to be the best fork there ever was.
That's absolutely right. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. And thank you for taking time out of your workout to give us a call back.
Of course.
All right. Take it easy. Bye.
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 Thanks. Bye.
I miss the theater.
I mean, it is really funny to hear about theater group dynamics. It's just there's something so, because it's like so important when you're in college. Oh, yeah. And then,
yeah.
You know,
it's
like,
it's everything.
Like, professionally working in the theater, I think would feel very different. I think the college version of it is like, that is the thing that's familiar to me.
In a lot of ways, college theater is like a reality show because you're like, you're in class. At least my theater was connected to, or my college was connected to a regional theater. So basically, sometimes kids would be lifted up from the classes into professional productions.
Yes. Wow.
Where they would play in professional productions. So it was like this weird thing where like you're in class with some of these people, but then also you're sort of auditioning all the time.
And you're all sort of competing with each other. Because that's the other thing about that call, which was great. But I it's like part of the rankings and the like,
so
she's ruining her singing voice. All this stuff is like, because it's really competitive.
Yeah, it's really competitive.
It sounds like they're going to a fairly large school where, you know, there's a lot of productions and there's a lot of competition.
I thought it was a tiny school.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell.
I guess it could be either one. That said, it could be the same level. Because to me, a giant theater program probably has a ton of competition, right? So maybe, you know, maybe she gets to be the big fish in a small pond at a smaller theater program. I don't know.
Yeah. No, but I think that is true, though. Just with any sort of villain that's talking shit, like, no amount of somebody telling lies about you or saying weird stuff about you will live up to you in real life being awesome.
Yep.
Like, will compete with that.
Yeah.
And especially if somebody is already like not particularly liked by the institution at large, it's like, that person's not going to win.
And jealousy in those situations is tough because that's real. Like,
oh, it's real. Yeah.
Somebody being like, oh, fuck this person. Like, they are getting all this attention that I want.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you're ever feeling jealous and you choose to like give into the jealousy and be like, oh, fuck this, like to hate the people that you're actually jealous of, it puts you in such a worse position.
Yeah.
The Burn Book was a bad call.
Oh,
because
bad
if the Burn
call.
Book hadn't been made and it was just like, oh, yeah, this really annoying person, it's like, but if as soon as you cross the line into like being mean, then all of a sudden you're the villain.
Yeah,
instead of just being like, people are like, you know, I'm struggling or like I'm trying to be cool and like I'm not cool. Then I feel bad for that person.
Yeah,
I know. Exactly. Right. 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 She would have been a sympathetic character.
Exactly.
This rich smoker.
Well, I think if she was not rich, she'd be more sympathetic just inherently, which is sort of something we covered in the call.
Oh, of course.
But like, there's just something about like you have access to all the wealth in the world.
Yeah.
And yes, there may be a lot of negative things associated with that. But like, I don't know. At the same time, I have sympathy for her. But, like, she talks about herself too much.
Too.
She doesn't know
it's
how to interact.
Insecurity.
Like,
it's
to me,
insecurity.
I don't know if we're going to full on diagnose clinical narcissism like they were happy to do.
For Amelie?
Yeah. I would just say that, like, I think that a lot of people are going through a lot at that age.
Yeah.
And, like, you're not a fully formed person at this. You know, you become different people through the stages of your life. And I feel like a lot of people treat college like everyone's here is doing everything that they want to be doing and they're doing it perfectly. And if they're being annoying, it's because they're choosing to be that way, kind of.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's true.
No.
And once you get out of college, you start to realize you're like, oh, this person was actually, I didn't know about what they were going through. Or whatever.
Oh, totally.
Not only do I not know what they're going through, but like I met them 8 years later and they're awesome now. Like they've figured something out and like they're still the same person, but they've changed enough that like the negative qualities I used to see are just no longer there.
Yeah. Because college is just like you're just trying to figure out who you are.
Exactly. And so, and this person has decided I'm a theater person. Theater is the most important thing in the world to me. And I'm so obsessive about it that I'm ranking everyone in class once
crazy.
A week. Like that's so much extra work to do that.
I think it's also probably a control thing. Like that person can't get into the roles that they want.
Yes.
And so they're like, well, I'll do the roles then.
Yes.
I'll rank instead of
by the way.
It's definitely a way of coping with not getting what you want.
Oh, yeah. But it's also, I find that that's,
anytime, like, the biggest problem with villains like this is they rob you of your time.
Oh,
like,
my God, yes.
And you, they rob you of you taking up mental space, being like, wait, they hate me? Like, why do they hate me? They're not even, and it's, it's just like none of it
just
matters.
Don't even engage,
because they're going to take your time away from you, and it's going to distract you from the things that actually matter. By the way, when I was in college, I was exclusively talking shit about people who didn't like me. To be totally clear, I'm not above it. Yeah. I'm just at a point now where I'm not doing that as much.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that sometimes talking shit about a person binds a group together, and but that's not necessarily the healthiest group dynamic, where like the reason we're friends is because we all hate this one
guy.
The
Burn Book, though, is like so egregious.
Right, it's so dramatic.
And it allows you to talk shit in an ethical way. That's right. Ethical shit talking means you need the villain to sort of do a big jacuzzi.
Yes.
And then.
Yes. Yes, a big jacuzzi, obviously.
Amelie did a big jacuzzi.
Amelie did a big jacuzzi.
We're really saying a lot of French words on this episode.
This is the French episode.
The French episode.
Francois.
I put my hands on all of us. Oh my goodness. Well, we only took two calls, but we had a lot of laughs.
I agree.
That's right.
And we have time for one final segment, and it's a segment we like to call Get Real. This is a segment where we get real as hell.
That's right.
All for the low, low price of free. And wow.
Yeah.
Big day. Rained today. That was exciting.
Big day.
I actually feel pretty good.
I feel great.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel recently?
Well, okay. I finally cooked a meal again for after only eating takeout for a while, so I'm feeling pretty good. Obviously, it was the turkey recipe that you find disgusting.
Oatmeal turkey paste.
No, it's not a paste.
Oatmeal turkey meatball.
I want to emphasize there's only a little bit of oats in the soup itself.
A cup?
A half cup?
No, so you put a quarter cup oats to mix the meatballs and then another half cup of oats in the actual soup.
So it's a half a cup.
Three quarters. But a quarter of them is
three quarters of a cup is a fucking bowl of oats, Will. No. What are you talking about? That's not that much oats. If I was making myself oatmeal, I would put a three quarters a cup of oats into a bowl.
Maybe even less.
Maybe less. And then you're just guzzling down water, turkey. Oh. You said it was dill heavy as well?
Dill forward, yes.
Oh, dill my. And turmeric.
I don't like
turmeric.
Turmeric and dill.
Very yellow. Kind of looks like diarrhea, but tastes good. Well, I think we got it.
Thanks for coming to the show, guys.
I mean, we could get real about something else.
No. We
like, I know we're real.
I think you got it a little too real, actually.
you think the turkey soup, the turkey meatball soup is gross to go out? I will show you the pictures from the New York Times app.
Oh, I hope to God you were going to say I could show you the pictures I took of my soup.
Oh my God, no, I'm not photographing my meals, because let me tell you one thing.
You should be.
This
you
is
should.
A promise. It should be
so you can show the doctor. This is a history of all the stuff I had before I came in.
Can you tell me why my tummy doesn't work?
Is it because I'm eating oats?
First of all, the oats are not the problem. The oats add a nice texture to the soup.
Yeah, it's the turmeric that's the problem. Staining
I
your
used
teeth.
Old it turmeric. It was fine.
Old turmeric.
And is that it? So is there anything else in the soup? Just turkey meatball?
No, there's
meatball.
More soup. Okay. Hold on. Let me go through the rest. You want a bowl of the recipe right now?
I just want to know if there's any other chunks.
Is this fun and entertaining?
Is there more chunks in the soup? First of all, meatball in a soup is like, it's like matzo ball soup, but with turkey meatballs with oats in them.
So let me pull this up here.
You're talking about a binding agent. Turkey sticks together.
Well,
it's turkey.
Okay, let me.
Raw turkey sticks together, Will.
I feel like you guys are attacking the New York Times specifically, and I just. Some might be suspicious of the rolled oats called for in this recipe, but used in place of breadcrumbs, they help create a light and tender chicken meatball. But you can also do turkey.
So you went off menu. You sub chicken for turkey.
It says or.
Turkey is a much fattier meat.
Well, it tastes better. A half cup more is simmered in the broth, which thickens it and provides a pleasant texture.
I don't want to hear any more.
The meatballs made with ground chicken, feta, and fresh dill swim in lemony, spinach-filled broth that's comforting and light, perfect for lunch or dinner.
I gotta be honest, Will. This is an ick for me. He's a 10, but he makes turkey dill stew.
I think it's good that I made a meal.
That's going on the soundboard. I think it's good that I made a meal.
Holy shit, gang. Well, we goddamn did it. And I obviously appreciate you having you on the show. Will, what are you working on? What can people find?
Obviously, I am back in the lab working on my next big post, and it's coming out June 1, I believe. If I think
coming up kind of soon.
Wow.
Kind of soon.
It's Feb.
Yeah.
It's Feb. Do you have an idea as a creative lock?
I have an idea.
See,
I'm
Will,
still working
I think you're
on the
overthinking
idea.
This. What
well,
you have to do is just photo of you at Echo Park.
By the way,
that's
not
it.
Bad.
It's just me around walking around Echo Park Lake and be like, hey.
Honestly, yeah. You in the swan boats.
Ooh, that's
pretty good.
On a long lens.
Me alone. Me by myself in a swan boat.
Going in a circle.
That is pretty funny.
A video?
That might be funnier than what I'm thinking about doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, Will's Big Post, maybe we start an email list. You can sign up for Will's Big Post.
Oh my God. I should. I mean, why? To direct people to my Instagram?
Why?
You just email them an Instagram link.
But yeah, you can follow me at W Whitworth for that big post. I may post before June 1, but if I don't, you'll see it.
A bonus,
the next
bonus
one
post?
Coming June 1.
Possible bonus post coming soon.
Bonus con.
Rainy, what's good lately?
Well, what's good recently? I'm trying to think if I had a soup. You can find me at It's Raining Toll on Instagram and Rainy Toll on Tick.
And obviously, you can find me at Miles Bond for all the good. Everyone, thanks for listening. And just remember that if you have a problem that's so big that you can't even freaking figure it out, perfection is only a call away.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.